Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, your Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves
live
at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881.
That's 917-932-8881.
Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183.
That's 1-877-218-1183.
Good evening, and welcome to Living Abundantly with your host, Tamika Patrice Kane, on 109.9 Penn Station here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm glad that you decided to join me again this evening, and I do have one correction to make from last week's broadcast. I made a reference to a book by Louise L. Hay. The title of the book is actually called You Can Heal Your Life, and it is a very powerful read and definitely worth getting. So last week we began breaking down the steps it takes to live the abundant life. And the first step we said was gratitude. Being grateful for what you have opens the doors for more to come into your life. And I suggested that you make a list of things to be grateful for. And if you were not able to come up with things to be grateful for, and that's okay because sometimes we just are not there. If you make a list of what you feel like your needs are and your deficits, then you can take that and turn that into like a positive confession after the list has been made. I have a couple of scriptures that I want to share. The first one is James chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. In the King James Version, it reads, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turned about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the government listeth, a very small helm. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles." And Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21 reads, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Both of these passages of Scripture are referencing what we speak. A rudder is a very small part of the ship, but it's powerful enough to turn a large ship in any direction that it wants to. Likewise, so are our mouths, just a little small member. Yet what we speak turns us in whatever direction it lines up with our words. This is very important. It is entirely possible that you may want certain things, but what you're speaking is actually taking you in the opposite direction that you wish to go. There is yet another scripture that reads, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And this means that whatever you really feel in your heart will come out of your mouth. The second passage of scripture from the Proverbs is telling us that we become comfortable and familiar with what we are speaking. It is likening our words to being fruit. And as we know, fruit can be either good or it can be bad. We want our words to yield good fruit. Negative talk will produce death in your life, death in relationships, death in self-esteem. It will produce lack, etc. Positive words will produce life in whatever area or to whomever you're speaking. Negative talk is weightier than positive talk. It literally weighs more. Because positive words are lighter, it will take a lot more of them to make an impact. You can compare negative words to being boulders or big rocks, and positive words to being like pebbles or little stones. Think about how you may have been having a really good mental and emotional place and how someone saying something negative or hurtful to you came in and weighed you right down, no matter how many positive experiences you'd had that day. It seemed to take more work to get back out of that negative place once that happened, even though you had been kind of light and airy and fluffy, if you will. The good thing is that since positive words weigh less, they actually travel faster. And you know, we things have frequencies and wavelengths and speed. So positive words literally travel faster. So when you turn your mouth towards the positive, you're able to get further faster. Since we did not learn to entertain negative thoughts overnight, it will take some time to retrain your brain, but it can be done. Anything learned can be unlearned. It takes 21 days to break an old habit, and likewise, it takes 21 days to develop a new habit or pattern. Learning new material and consistently applying what you've learned is the key to getting yourself where you want to be. Give yourself time to learn this new way, and don't beat yourself up if you seem to be struggling or staying positive. There are many of you who have spent your lives not only being mistreated, but also not being validated for your experiences. Whatever you've gone through and wherever you've been, it is important. Everything about you is important, and it matters to God. We're each just doing the best that we're able to do or willing to do at any given time, and we're not always able to determine the hand that will be dealt to us. What we do get to determine is how we'll deal with the hand that we're given. And let me say this. It is entirely possible to grow up in a household with other people, and yet your experience is vastly different than everyone else that lived there. So when you're telling your story, people may not understand. They may even flat out just think you're lying, but your story is your story, whether they understand or agree or not. And remember, we said that if it's yours, it deserves to be validated. They don't have to agree. Okay? And I hope that this place serves as a place of validation. You know, for you. You just are where you are, and there is no criticism or judgment. I'm never coming from that place. I'm always just kind of coming from a place of where I've been, and just we all need a safe place to be able to kind of lay our heads and to be able to just be free. And so, and many people don't have a safe place. And so I hope that this forum, or my writings kind of provide you with that safety that you need. It can be hard to share your story because you don't want to offend or hurt anyone, but your story is your story, like we said earlier. And you don't owe anyone any apologies. You also don't have to protect others. At some point, you have to be true to yourself and to your experience, even if it makes those who are attached to it uncomfortable. I try to steel myself before the Lord and find out what the message is that he wants me to share each week before I come on the air or post things on my fan page or whatever the medium is that he has me using. And I struggled this week with how much of my story should I tell. First of all, I'm very private. And secondly, in telling my story, I'm also telling a portion of the story of those who are attached to me during those times. But I could feel the heaviness of some of the listeners. And in my quest to live authentically, it means I may have to share some of the stuff I just as soon forget. So, you know, here goes, if you will. Up until now, we have all coped in the best way that we knew how. Wherever we've been wherever you've been on your journey, it's okay, no matter how low or dark those places have been. And when we're children, which is when a lot of our issues begin, we do the best we can to handle whatever we're dealing with. And there may be roles that people put you in. You're a child. You don't know any better. And more than likely, you don't know how to change it either. Before too long, you're over the age of 18, still functioning in how you have been conditioned to function in those early years. It doesn't just go away just because you've reached adulthood. We stay in that place until something challenges where we are and we realize we need to change. Then we go about finding what it is that we need in order to make those changes. For me, that change came about 15 or so years ago after a trip I had taken to Wheels End in Canada. And I'm going to use myself for this example. I was born to teenage parents who each had their own deficits. My mother was orphaned at the age of 3 and sent to live with her paternal grandfather, who was extremely abusive to all the children in the house. My father you know, things looks can be very deceiving. You know, me had two parents in his home and all of that, but my grandfather was extremely mean and abusive to my father. But anyway, we'll moving on with that. Anyway, and so my mother had been sent to live with her paternal grandfather, who was extremely abusive to all the kids in the home. So here she is. She's a teenager who needs love and acceptance and, you know, all the stuff that, you know, teens need and the stuff that a person would need who had lost a parent at a young age and the stuff that they would need growing up in a home where they're not, where love and acceptance and stuff is not really plentiful. So she has all these deficits, but she's a mom at 18 trying to raise me. Now, to her credit, she was a good parent. Her grandfather had taught her all about hard work and making her own way, while her grandmother taught her how to take care of a family. So even though she was only 18, I had the luxury of growing up with a Southern upbringing as if I had older parents because of her experience. Now, the situation with my father was completely different, and I'll get into that at a different time. She always made sure I had what I needed, you know, clothes and shelter and food and all those kinds of things. Emotionally, she just didn't have anything to give me. And she was needy, so she was just trying to get her own needs met. So even though she loved me fiercely, she put me in the role of being her confidant and groomed me to take care of her. Talk about a role reversal. I bring this up because we're talking about our experiences being what they are and how we get ourselves out of where we've been. All I knew was how to meet her needs, and then that of her boyfriend once she and my dad divorced, and my brother when she finally had another child, and I resented it. I wanted to have a life. There were so many things I wanted to do, but I didn't know how to do that and take care of them all, too. I grew up, and even into early adulthood, I continued on doing just what I knew. Isn't that what we all do? We just do what we know. And we've been doing it so long, we're just on autopilot. It wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I got a revelation that I had the right to have a life. I had taken a trip with some friends to Wilden, and it's one of those family-friendly kind of places with pools and arcades and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, they had this indoor-outdoor pool, and I was swimming at night. And even though it wasn't midnight, the sky was about the color of midnight blue. It was beautiful, like Crayola crayons, and it was so beautiful. And I looked up at the sky, and everything was so clear and so deep blue. And I felt so peaceful and carefree for the first time in so long I couldn't even remember how long. The stars were so bright. It was a turning point in my life. The next day as we were coming home, when we hit the Canadian border, it felt like the weight of the world was literally sitting on my shoulders. I felt so burdened. And I didn't know why or how to get rid of it. The next morning, I'm sitting in my breakfast, you know, getting breakfast, and I could see scenes of my life playing on the wall like a movie. Let me put this on pause for just a moment. Let me play a song for you just a moment.
Just to stay in your
Okay, that was Ready for Love by India Arie. And I'm kind of chuckling over here because there's all kinds of distractions and things taking place. My call got dropped, whatever. So anyway, we go on. And so thank you for being here. This is Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice King. And I was in the middle of telling a portion of my testimony and just saying how we are not always able to change the hand that we're dealt, but we do have the ability to be able to change our experiences and our lives once we grab hold of some stuff. We don't have to stay stuck in the same place. That was in the middle of telling a portion of my testimony, and I'm going to continue on with that. So the next morning, I'm sitting in my breakfast nook, eating breakfast, and I'm seeing scenes of my life flying on the walls like a movie. I'd never had an experience like that before. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I gave you a life for a reason. The message was loud and clear. What he didn't have to say was the rest, which amounted to, now whether or not you have one is up to you. If you choose not to have a life, then you can no longer complain about it. The choice was mine. It was one of the most freeing and challenging times of my life. At 19, when I moved out of my mother's house, I ended up moving her and my brother with me. I was afraid for her. She had a really abusive boyfriend who spent years terrorizing us. And there were so many things I wanted to do, but I was her protector, and I thought if I left, he'd kill her. So I decided not to go off to college like I wanted to, and I bought a house. The plan was to be a very short term and was for her to get herself together so that she could move to a place he knew nothing about, all that. He ended up moving into my new home at some point. So much for that idea. Before long, he was staying there, and not too much had changed. The dynamics were still the same. In moving her into my home, I had inadvertently moved her chaos and her drama into the very thing I had been trying to avoid. I'm a pretty peaceful, calm person, so even though I grew up in chaos, I'm not like the chaos that I grew up in. And so I had just been longing for peace and for quiet and kind of like for solitude. So anyway. So I came home one day, and no one was to be found, and there was no note telling me where they were or anything like that. Hours passed. I was a nervous wreck. They decided, she, her man, and their son, had decided to take a trip to Chicago, and it was a slap in the face to me. Anything could have happened to her, and I was nervous because he was kind of, you just never knew from one minute to the next what it was going to be, so I didn't know if they were in trouble or what the deal was. Turns out they were just, they had just decided to go, back to Chicago, to a place where her son had been born and, all that. But she knew how violent he could be, and yet she was doing what she wanted to do, just like she always had, and yet again didn't care at all how those choices had affected me. And I used to fear I would come home and her blood would be splattered all over my house and I'd find her dead. And it wasn't long after that we had the conversation that she needed to find her own place. Let me just put this out here because, I don't know if you guys are, following this or not, but, I had to ask my mother to get her own place. How do you put your mother out? It's very, very draining. And it wasn't an easy thing to do. She was mad at me. The family was talking about me, you name it. But I had to do what was best for me. And the stress of that situation was not in my best interest. If she wanted to stay in the situation she was in, she was more than welcome to do that. But I was grown, and so I didn't have to be a part of that with her any longer. And it was hard separating myself from her stuff, but in order for me to have a life and to fulfill what God was putting in me to do, I had to save myself. And I'm going to say it again, it was hard to do. And sometimes in doing what's best for you, it will be unpopular with those around you. People may not understand. They may ridicule you. They may talk about you. They may make you out to be a monster. But you've got to save yourself before you can save anybody else. When you're on an airplane, the flight attendant is doing a demonstration with the oxygen mask in case of an emergency. And that the flight attendant says, put your oxygen mask on first before you try to help someone else. And I guess in essence, this was really no different. I had to save myself before I could be free enough to help save anybody else, or get anyone else to their freedom or whatever. So some of you need to make some real tough decisions, and you need to cut some folks off. And you may need to separate yourself from toxic relationships or people. And it may seem to you that people feel you're supposed to, it may be people that you feel like you need to have a lifelong commitment and stuff to, but God gave you a life for a reason, and what you do with it is up to you. You may not have been able to change the hand that was dealt to you, but you have a chance now to make it right for yourself. Let the mess of your past become the ministry that you use to free others. But in order to free others, you have to free yourself first. So, you know, that was, like I said, I wrestled back and forth with whether or not I was going to share that. At some point, I will have conversations about and you know, talk about some of my stuff with my father too. Because those were significant things, and those were situations that, you know, kind of helped shape and mold me. And but it doesn't define me. I could have chosen to allow it to define me, but I don't have to do that. And so I've chosen that I'm not going to do that. You know, I love my parents, both of them. You know, people are just, they just are where they are, and they just do what they're, the best that they can at any given time. And when we know better, we do better. And so, you know, I mean, I'm glad to say that she's not, you know, living in that kind of situation anymore, but you know what? Neither am I. And so, you know, those things are significant, and they are important. And so I had been feeling led all week that I was going to have to share that portion of my testimony. And like I said, I was really wrestling with it. I mean, that's just some stuff, you know, you just share with your deepest confidence. And here I am, like, just putting all my business out there on the street, and I'm not really, you know, happy about it. But when you allow yourself to be a vessel, you know, used of the Lord, He has the right to pull out some stuff. And so, you know, there it is. And so, you know, for those of you who are in situations where, like, you are still kind of stuck in your parents' drama, you know, let this be the night that you decide that you're not going to be stuck in that stuff anymore. Or if you are in toxic relationships and people are, you know, beating on you and talking down to you and berating you and or are in any way, you know, aiding you not being the person that God created you to be, then you may have to separate yourself. I kind of liken life to being a stage, like a theater, if you will, and I'm on the stage. But, you know, you have all kinds of different places in the theater. You have, you know, those people who have front row seats. You've got the mezzanine. You've got the box seats. You've got the nosebleed section. You've got the atrium. You've got the parking lot, you know. And as you determine what it is that your needs are, you may find that some of those relationships may get moved around in different places of your theater. You may even have to kick some folks just completely off the premises, and that is really okay. You do what you have to do in order to be able to save yourself. Some folks just don't need to be there. And if they have, you know, just proven themselves to not be worthwhile or uplifting or helpful, then it's okay to separate yourself. You know, sometimes it's for just a season, just long enough for folks to kind of get themselves together, or long enough for you to get yourself together so that you are strong enough and you can put healthy boundaries and stuff in place. You know, boundaries are that's such an area that many people struggle with. And while I'm thinking about it, there is actually a book called Boundaries that you might want to pick up if that's an area, you know, of your life. If you feel like you're always just saying yes to stuff and you are, you know, kind of angry and bitter because you're doing it, or you're just, you know, running here and running there and just always doing stuff for people, but you, it doesn't feel peaceful and calm in your spirit, you know, those are like indicators that are letting you know that something is awry, something is amiss. And so you might have issues with boundaries. Anyway, it's by a guy named Robert, it's two authors. The last names are Cloud and Townsend, okay? And the book is just simply called Boundaries. So, you know, having said that, that might be a good resource for you to, you know, to pick up just as you are starting to put things in place. But even having gone through all those things, and, you know, and so, you know, for those of you who have lived it, I mean, it's a pretty rocky road, and so you would know firsthand exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, unfortunately, many people, I would even go so far as to say, you know, maybe even most of the people that we know have either had some sort of dealings with domestic violence, or they have known other people, whether they know they've known them or not, who have had their own dealings with domestic violence. And so, you know, it could be a really difficult difficult thing to get out of, and you know, people don't always understand. That kind of takes me to my book right now. I am the author of a book called Season of Change, and that is very much one of the issues that I am dealing with in the book is, you know, domestic violence and unresolved, you know, issues and how those things can kind of just come in and affect your life. And so if you haven't had a chance to pick it up and read it, I suggest that you do that. You can get it off the website, off my website, or you can get it off Amazon. It's on all the ebook versions, you know, Nook, Kindle, the Apple iStuff, Sony, all those kinds of things. And it really is a very powerful read. And so, as with all the things that I do, you know, it is to bring some form of healing. So, you know, it's not just telling a story, but there is there are elements there to bring about healing. So, you know, and I know that sometimes people wonder, like, well, where, you know, why did you write that? You know, what was the purpose of that? But it was a story that needed to be told. And not all of it is my story. You know, of course, it is a work of fiction, you know. But it was, it's more, you know, how certain things kind of impacted. And so it was a part of my writing. It was a part of my healing process, you know, if you will. But like I said, it is a very good read. And it's getting rave reviews. So go ahead and, you know, pick up your copy and then, you know, write me and tell me how you were impacted or affected by it. So anyway, but we're even in the midst of all of those kinds of things, and even in the midst of, like, the lowest places of your life, there are still things to be grateful for. Like, some of the things I'm grateful for now is, like, I don't have to live in that place anymore, and I know it. And so, like, I have extreme gratitude about that. You know, like, when I go home, it's peaceful and it's calm. And, you know, like, and there are times when we bring, like, other stuff. Like, I had a situation where it was a time in my life where things needed to kind of, like, recently, where things needed to just be, you know, kind of peaceful, working on keeping my vibrations and stuff high, my energy high, my thoughts positive and all this. And it seemed like every time, you know, some move of God was supposed to take place, someone would go into a behavior. I mean, just seriously, they would just go into a behavior. I would be getting a series of texts about something out the blue or, you know, just whatever it would be to be able to bring my stuff down to the point where I had to, like, stop and say, okay, all right, well, like, the common denominator and all this stuff is beneath. So, all right, Lord, am I chaotic and I don't know it? And he's like, oh, no. No, you're peaceful and calm, but you grew up in chaos. And so even though you are peaceful and calm, you never learned how to shut chaos off. This is important, okay? And so, and then I began to ask him, oh, okay, all right, got it. And so at this point, I'm working on, like, my confessions and all this kind of stuff. So, like, we were saying that, you know, we need to be mindful of the things that we are speaking and the things that is in our heart. That's the stuff that comes out. But a thought is just a thought, and a thought can be changed. And so I had been working on getting better thoughts, positive thoughts, and literally speaking myself into the life it was that I want for myself, speaking myself into the promises, you know, versus just, you know, just waiting on stuff to just kind of come and go, or just waiting on stuff at random. I could take a more proactive role in actually making sure I got where it was that I wanted to be. And so that's where I was at. And we're going to talk more about that because that's important. That'll be part of your assignment, if you will, for this week when you are making your confession. And so last week you were talking about the things that you were grateful for or the things that were wrong, okay? And so if you have not figured out yet, then where the deficits are or, you know, where the areas are in your life where you still need some help or you are still needing things to line up, then that will be part of your assignment for this week to figure out where those areas are. And then we'll begin to work on putting your confessions and stuff together, things for you to be speaking. And, you know, we're just trying to get ourselves to a place where we feel happy and light, and we may not be there. You know, it may not be there. It's like this week I could literally just kind of feel people so heavy. And I could feel, you know, some of my stuff, but I could feel other people's stuff, you know, and it was just, people were just, you know, heavy and they were tired and, you know, and there were folks that wanted to give up. And for those people, you know, don't give up. You didn't get where you are overnight. Just give yourself time and just learn some more stuff and just put it into practice. You know, and cry when you need to cry. And if you need to reach out and ask someone to give you, you know, to pray with you or, you know, to do confessions and stuff with you, all those things are very important, you know. And when you are trying to get your head right, that's what I like to call it, when you're trying to get your head right, then it might be, you might need to be mindful of what you're watching and what you're listening to, because and how you feel when you're doing it. You need to be mindful of, like, you know, who you're around. There are certain people that you know that are just constantly bringing your energy down. Then you might need to limit some of your time with those people. They don't need to be in your immediate circle or in your sphere when you are trying to build yourself up and get yourself where it is that you're trying to go. That will be kind of counterproductive. So if you are just tuning in, welcome. You are listening to Living Abundantly with Tanika Patrice Kane, and we have been talking about, or last week we talked about gratitude, and we are beginning the steps, breaking down the steps that it takes to actually get to a point where you are living the abundant life. So last week we talked about gratitude. This week we're talking about just acknowledging where it is that you've been, because many of you have not been validated. And so you feel like, you know, yes, but these things happened to me. Yes, and they may have, but you don't have to be defined by those things that happen. They can literally just be experiences, and they can be the stepping stones that you use to catapult you to where you want to be. You know, someone else has been through something similar, and they do need your story. They need your testimony. They need to know how you came out. But in order for you to be able to help free them, you got to free you first. So, you know, those things are important. You know, but you have to know that you are important. And no matter who has tried to make you feel like you weren't, or who has tried to silence you, nobody has the right to silence you. God gave you a voice for a reason. So as long as you're speaking what you have to speak in love and truth, then you don't have to make any apologies for what it is, you know, that you are saying, because he gave you a voice for a reason. He gave you a voice for a reason, because there's everything about you matters, and you are significant, and you have to know it. And even if people around you are treating you like you're not significant, and you have never been able to tap into anyone who does treat you like you are significant, you know, you can start building yourself up and telling yourself that you are significant and that you matter. And so we, in the midst of changing our thoughts and changing, like, how we really feel, it requires that we go in and literally change, like, our mental blueprint on things. And so, like, you know, this night I was kind of given portions of my testimony, you know, and so something just came to mind, so I'll go ahead and just share it. And so I had mentioned that I had, you know, young parents, but I had a grandfather who molested me when I was 3, and it sent me spiraling, like, for years. And, you know, here, you know, these are the people that are supposed to, you know, protect you. And, like, my parents didn't know. And, you know, so it wasn't like, you know, they were just letting stuff go on, and they just were just allowing stuff to happen. They just didn't know. You know, but my grandfather was a piece of work, a real piece of work. And, you know, and I wasn't the only one that he had defiled and stuff like that. But I said all that to say, you know, here you are, you know, you're supposed to, you know, this is the time where you're supposed to be, you know, young and protected and free and safe. And I wasn't, you know. And so, it changed some things, you know. It changed how I saw myself and kind of defined, like, the relationships and stuff like that. I think last week I touched on how my father rejecting me, you know, I learned to reject myself and then spent years, because how I felt on the inside of me, kind of, remember we talked about, I think it was the very first week we were doing the show, that our relationships are literally a mirror of what's going on the inside of us. So, you know, the fact that other people were rejecting me all the time literally just had to do with the fact that that's how I felt about myself. You know, whether they saw worth and value in me or not, they were rejecting me because I was dealing with the spirit of rejection, and it came, you know, from my dad, and then, you know, my grandfather and all that stuff that he had done, and those things just kind of affected how I saw myself and the kinds of relationships that I could attract and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't have to stay there, but I was there for a long time because it was all I knew. And so as I began to know more, and, you know, sometimes it took therapy or, you know, just kind of delving into the Word. It may take fasting and prayer. It could have been some, you know, special altar call at the church. You know, whatever it was, you know, I just kind of went through my journey and kept plugging on through. And change didn't come overnight. But I'm bringing all that up because the blueprint was there. And so even after I had done lots and lots of work, sometimes I still found myself stuck and still not able to manifest the things it was that I was looking for. And so, you know, I say all the time, truth seekers will find what it is that they need. The information that they're looking for will literally just kind of fall in their laps because it's important when you want to know the truth, then God will make sure that what you need, you find. And so, you know, he says, anyone who knocks, the door will be open. You know, anyone who, you know, who asks, you know, they'll find. And so as I began to really just desire change, almost like crave it, like I can't live in this place one more day. What is it that I have to do? Resources would just begin to fall into my lap. And so one of the things that I ended up doing was listening to a lot of like subliminal teachings, and at first that kind of made me a little nervous because I didn't know who was actually what they were speaking over me. So some of the first stuff he led me to were some things by Louise Hay. There was another one that I had picked up where they would actually tell you, like the first part of the CD would be where they would be speaking out over you so you could speak out over yourself, and then the second part of it would be subliminal. And so why subliminal teachings are so important and so significant is because when you just speak something to the brain, you can reject it if it wants to, but going in subliminally, you really don't even hear it. You know, what you hear is it might be like a sound, or it may be ocean waves or music or whatever, but there's a message that is underneath that penetrates directly into your subconscious. And as you begin to deal with that, then the blueprint changes. So I liken that to being like if you are, if you have typed up a document and there is an error on the document and you print it, the error is going to show up every time you print it. So, but if you take it and just wipe out the error and then your copy, okay, so fine, that one piece of paper has, or that one copy has the error changed, but the error is still there in the computer, which means every time you print it and every time you access it until you go in there and change it, that is like how the mind is. And so as you are beginning to discover and to define what it is that you actually are looking for and what it is that you would like for life to bring, what it is that you want your life to look like, if you make a statement, the brain can accept it or can reject it. If you ask a question, because your brain is kind of set up like a computer in a way, it will not stop computing until it has found the answer. So let's use the example of like money at this point. Okay. Oh, see this thing I want, and it has a price tag that may be more than what I can afford at the time. But if I say to myself, oh, I can't afford it, your brain says, oh, you're right, you can't. And then, you know, there are no resources for it. But if you say, how can I afford this? oh, then all of a sudden the brain begins computing, and it keeps coming up with solutions, and all these ideas and stuff will keep coming to mind of ways that you can actually afford that thing that you're looking for. So when you are, even if you are starting to put your confessions together, your confessions really are questions. And so instead of saying to yourself, oh, I'm so happy, because the brain can decide, no, you're not, you're lying. You are not happy. You're feeling sad, and you're feeling, you know, down and depressed. You know, no, that is a lie, and I reject that. But if you say to yourself, you know, oh, why am I so happy? You know, why are my thoughts so positive? Why am I living my absolute best life? Then as you begin to ask yourself the questions, your brain will keep coming up with answers. And before you know it, you literally will have created the atmosphere and created the life that you were hoping to live. I hope that makes sense. And so, but go ahead and make your list. Make the list. Just, you know, go ahead and just put, okay, I need childcare. I need a new car. I need, I would like to move. I want to relocate. You know, fill in the blank, whatever your thing is. And then get specific, you know. And so then as you are asking yourself the question of, you know, oh, why don't I have the car of my dreams? Why do I have so much, why are all my bills paid on time? Why do I always have money in my purse or my wallet? You know, why are all of my needs always met? You know, why am I so happy? Why are my relationships so healthy? You know, whatever it is that you feel like you have had a deficit, as you begin to ask questions, you literally are changing the atmosphere all around you. And so those are just some of the steps that I've taken. I want to give you some resources tonight. But one of the things we talked about was a book called Boundaries. And that was, we said, by two guys. And I can't remember their first name. One person's first name is Robert. But their last names are Cloud, like Clouds in the Sky, and Townsend. Another book. And some of the stuff you can get on CD, which would be, like, really great. Another one is called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And that is such a great book. I mean, it's old, but it's such a great book. And it's an easy read. So, you know, I would suggest you get that one. A different one is called Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. And then, of course, there's You Can Heal Your Life by Louise L. Hay. And like I said, many of these things are on, like literally the whole thing is on CD. So you can just, you know, plug in and listen to them while you are in the car. And of course, some of this stuff will require that you not just read right through it, but you may need to read a little and process it and put some actions in place, and cry, and journal, and, you know, do whatever it is that you have to do to get some stuff out. And that is okay, because, it's, you know, stuff like that, the toxic stuff needs to be out versus in. You don't want that stuff just, you know, circulating over and over in your mind and through your bloodstream and all that kind of stuff, you know, because then you end up with, sickness and disease and things like that. And we were talking about living an abundant life. And so we're talking about being abundant in every area. We want to be abundant in health and wealth and our relationships and in peace and joy. And, you know, this life can be as good as we make it. And I know that, like, one of the things I had to really work on, and please don't think by any means that I am just through all of this stuff. You know, I will continue to keep, you know, doing these things, because I didn't learn these mindsets overnight, and it will take me time to relearn some other stuff and see the fruit of those things. But like, one of the things I kind of dealt with was life was hard, and so, you know, things didn't come easy for me. Life was hard, and so it just seemed like everything was just such a big struggle all the time. And I was so tired, and I would be so weary from the fight of trying to get where I was trying to go, that I had to start confessing over myself, why is my life so easy? Why do things come to me so easily, you know? And that was important for me, you know. I mean, you look at where you have needs, and you just deal with your stuff, you know, right where you are. And I'm just, I'm just being, you know, real and transparent with my thoughts, you know. But you take from these conversations what you need to get, you know, and apply it how you need to apply it so that you can maximize your life experience down here. You know, there are so many things for you to do, and there are so many dreams and so many things that you have put aside because you just didn't think it was available to you. But it is available to you. You know, it's not too late for you to get your degree. It's not too late for you to travel the world. It's not too late for you to have a baby or adopt a child or get married. You know, whatever it was that was in your heart to do that you really wanted to do it, it's not too late for you to do those things. And there may have been setbacks and there may have been things that have come up that have hurt you, I mean, like to the core of your being, but it doesn't have to define you. No matter how deep the betrayal, it doesn't have to define you. You could decide to lift your head back up, and it may take time, but you can lift your head back up, and you can still get where it is that you are trying to go. It matters. How you feel matters. What you want matters. What did you want to do for a living? Well, go ahead and do it. If you have to go back to school, go back to school. You know, do what you have to do so that you can do what you want to do. It doesn't make sense to be down here miserable and unhappy and lonely and sad and sick and depressed and unfulfilled. That is not the life that Jesus came to give us. We were not created for that. And so if there's anything that is standing in the way of you living the life that you want to live, first of all, recognize it, call it out, and then figure out what it is that's actually interfering with that. You know, if some relationships have to go, well, let them go. You know, if you need to move, you know, whatever it is, you know, you fill in your own blank there, and because only you know what it is. You know, spend some time before God, and if you are angry because stuff has not worked out, it's okay. He already knows. But go ahead and tell him. If you're angry at him, go ahead and tell him. He can really handle that. And I promise you that on the other side of that confession, like, I'm so angry at you, you have given yourself wings so that you can take flight and you will have lessened the load some and allowed, you know, one less, you know, there's one less barrier in the way, and there's one less weight on your shoulder. The more stuff that you can reveal and allow him to heal, then the better it will be, you know, for you, because you're worth it, and he can handle it. No matter, I know our parents and the adults around us are like the first example we get of like who God is, but he can handle the truth, even if they couldn't. He can, you know. Even if they never listened to anything you had to say, they always cut stuff off, whatever. He's not that way. And so you can go ahead and reveal all of those things and cry that stuff out and write that stuff out and draw that stuff out and jog it out or whatever it is that you do as your emotional release so that you can get what it is that you need and what it is that you want. And so if you have, like, you know, questions about any of this stuff, you know, feel free to drop me a note. You know, I'll get back with you. Give me a call, whatever it is that you want to do, and I promise I will get back with you because, you know, we are kind of in this together. And if I'm putting stuff out there and it doesn't quite make sense and you have questions, then get your questions answered. You know, I'm here to help. And so I'm just saying all of that because we're just here. We're supposed to help each other, and we are trying to get to a point where we are living the abundant life, not just in one area of our lives, but literally in every area of our lives. And so it may be a process to get where you're going, but you can do it. You can do it. And in the midst of you freeing yourself and saving yourself, you're going to free others and help save others too. And then they're going to turn around and do the same thing. And it will have this just this awesome, explosive kind of result. And we'll see lives change just all over the place. Truth Pain. And so I'm going to give those resources one more time. It was Boundaries. The last names were Townsend and Cloud. There was The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. And You Could Heal Your Life by Louise O'Hay. Those are the ones that we're talking about tonight. Louise has a number of resources. And all the ones that I have used have been such a blessing to me, such a blessing. And I think there's one that's called something like Healing Your Inner Child. It's, I'm looking it up right now so that I can tell you what that one is called. It's called Forgiveness and Loving Your Inner Child. And I'm not sure if it comes in book format. I ended up with it in the version of a CD, but it was so helpful. Again, that one's called Forgiveness and Loving Your Inner Child. And so that one seems especially significant tonight with the things we were talking about, just kind of dealing with stuff from your past and childhood stuff, you know, so that you can lay it to rest and not take that stuff into your adulthood. Not one more day, because you don't have to. You don't have to stay stuck in the things from your past. You can really just kind of let that stuff go. So on that note, I hope that you all will look into those resources and just get what it is that's out there that's available to you, because you are worth it. There is, of course, you can get most of the stuff on Amazon and stuff like that, but they have like the used book section where you can get stuff from used booksellers. There's thriftbooks.com, and of course, there's always the library, too. You can borrow stuff from the library. A lot of the stuff you can kind of order, and they will send it right to your local branch. So those are just things to keep in mind. And just know that you are worth the effort. You are worth the effort, you know. And I hope you're looking yourself in the face each day and telling yourself, hey, I'm worth it. You know, I'm worthwhile. I'm significant. My life has meaning, because it does. And the changes kind of start with you. So I do want to remind you of the book signing that's coming up, and that is Tuesday, June 18th at 7 p.m. At the Heritage of Southfield, for those of you who are in the Detroit area. And the address is 25800 West 11 Mile, and that's Southfield, Michigan, 48034. And like I said, it's an adult-only affair due to the type of venue that it is. But if you're in the area, come on out, and I would love to see you and talk to you and hug on you and all that. And again, the book is called Season of Change by myself, it's Tamika Patrice Kane, and you can go right to my website for all the information, and it will link you to every site where you can purchase, and that is www.tamika, T-U-M-I-K-A, Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E.com, and you can find me on Twitter, at Tamika Patrice. There's Facebook, my fan page is Tamika Patrice Kane, and then, of course, you know, like I said, all of this information is on my website, and when you go to the website, be sure to opt in for my newsletter, so that you can get different kinds of updates and contests and things like that. And I'd love to hear from you. So all of my contact information and address and email address and all that stuff is on the website. So you can go there and find out how you can reach me, and I would love to hear from you. But we are going to go ahead and end this. I'm going to play a song before we get off of here. But know that you're worth it, and make each day a great day on purpose, and know that you're loved. Talk to you next week.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up and move.